The gospel reading is Luke 1, 46b through 55. The Canticle of Mary. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the gospel of grace.
We rejoice together today in yet another Advent festival of music here at Broadway as we celebrate all of the glorious sounds of the season. It's beginning to look and also sound a lot like Christmas. And it's sound, the sound of Christmas, which I wish to speak with you this morning. As we listen to this glorious music and sing these wondrous carols, it's a good day to take a little time to reflect on that first and greatest of Christmas carols, Mary's song. Not Mariah's song, Mary's song, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Magnificat is one of four songs sung actually at the beginning of the book of Luke, as Jesus' birth is announced and celebrated. In fact, singing plays such an important role in the Gospel of Luke that I once heard the book called The Musical of Luke. Right at the beginning, around the birth, we have these four songs. The song of Zechariah, because of the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high has broken upon us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and to guide our feet in the way of peace. We have the song of angels, which everyone knows. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to all of goodwill. We have, after Jesus is born and brought to the temple, the song of Simeon. Now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the presence of all peoples. And, of course, we have the song of Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. Singing was an important source of education and also encouragement in the early church to which the writer of this gospel, Luke, belonged. Luke says they were singing when Paul and Silas were sprung from their prison cells. And as Paul said, they sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in their hearts to the Lord and also to one another. Luke's people were a singing people, and Luke's church was a singing church. And as Jordan Covarelli says, Mary's song here at the outset of Luke's book is a kind of overture, an early musical introduction to what Luke believed was the central thematic message of all of God's gospel. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor upon the lowliness of his servants. And surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. This is the great theme of God's gospel that comes to us in Jesus Christ. For in Christ, God shows strength with the arm of might, scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brings down the powerful from their thrones, lifts up the lowly, fills the hungry with good things, while sending the rich away empty-handed. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the true meaning of Christmas. And anything else said or sung that does not include this good news for the poor and the lowly is off-key and out of tune with the overture of God's true gospel come to us in Christ and sung to us in Mary. But some, of course, will ask, well, lifting up the lowly is one thing, but sending the rich away empty-handed? How is that the gospel? And my answer to that good question comes from the same source it always comes from around about this Sunday in the year, from the Gospel of Dickens, better known as A Christmas Carol. In the Broadway musical adaptation composed by Alan Menken, A Christmas Carol begins with a musical overture. There is the ticking of a clock, followed by a drumbeat of sudden, heavy, and foreboding sound. It's not unlike the sound of the deep bass parts we heard sung in Handel's Messiah this past Sunday. Not like that. It's the ominous sound of impending judgment. But then, suddenly, afterward, there is this soft release from the flute and the strings, and old, miserly Ebenezer Scrooge begins his transformation. The old coot's heart is softened, and at the end of the play, if you think about it, poor little Tiny Tim is lifted up, and rich Scrooge walks away empty-handed, yet so very full. in heart. This is the gospel of Charles Dickens, and it is also the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hear the overture of both in the Song of Mary. Mary's song is the thematic score for the whole soundtrack of God's gospel come to us in Christ. And to the poor, it is music to their ears, if they have ears to hear and hearts to receive. To the rich, it can be the gospel good news also. The Magnificat is a powerful, powerful, and really quite revolutionary song. So powerful and revolutionary, in fact, it has struck fear in the hearts of ruling classes throughout the centuries. Mary's song, in fact, was said to have made the Russian czars to shudder. India, Guatemala, and Argentina each once banned the Magnificat's public use. And I might add, it has been silenced in many a Protestant church as well. Mary's been silenced. The voice of the Mother of God, Mary made to sit in the nativity set, still and quiet, and without her powerful and revolutionary song. And I can prove it, that Mary's song has not been in the mouths of many of us Baptists. Because even though we were made to memorize a whole lot of scripture growing up, who remembers sword drills with their Bibles on Sunday nights at church? Yet I bet none of us were made to memorize the Song of Mary, nor ponder the power and the meaning of her revolutionary message in our hearts. This Christmas, we have a chance to change that. This Christmas, we have a chance to let Mary sing again and to let her voice speak. We have the opportunity to let the power of her voice and the revolutionary vision of her song prepare the way of the Lord yet once more, as it should. And the poor will have good news brought to them, and the rich will be sent away empty-handed yet full of heart, and the powerful will be brought down from their thrones, and the lowly will be lifted up, and the soul of a little lowly and oppressed Jewish girl will become, yet once more, the place of God's great magnification. Mary's song is the overture to the musical of Luke's gospel. And God's gospel too. May we learn to sing this song. And may we all, rich and poor alike, learn to magnify the Lord, rejoice in God our Savior, and look with favor upon the lowliness of this little child, and with all of the many generations, call her and all who are like her blessed yet again. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and together then all of God's people do say, Amen and Amen.